Desolation Island, Aubrey Maturin Series, Book 5, written by Patrick O'Brien and read by Rick Jerram.
Chapter 1. The breakfast parlour was the most cheerful room in Ashgrove Cottage, and although the builders had ruined the garden with heaps of sand and unslaked lime and bricks, and although the damp walls of the new wing in which this parlour stood still smelt of plaster, the sun poured in, blazing on the covered silver dishes and lighting the face of Sophie Aubrey as she sat there waiting for her husband. A singularly lovely face, with the lines that their earlier poverty had marked upon it quite smoothed away. But it had a somewhat anxious look. She was a sailor's wife, and although the Admiralty, in the goodness of its heart, had allowed her the company of her husband for a surprising length of time, appointing him, much against his will, to the command of the local sea fencibles in recognition of his services in the Indian Ocean, she knew that this period was coming to an end. The anxiety changed to unmixed pleasure as she heard his step. The door opened, a ray of sun fell on Captain Aubrey's beaming face, a ruddy face with bright blue eyes, and she knew as certainly as though it had been written on his forehead that he had bought the horse he coveted. "There you are, sweetheart!" he cried, kissing her and lowering himself into a chair by her side, a broad elbow chair that creaked beneath his weight. "Captain Aubrey," she said, "I'm afraid your bacon will be cold." "A cup of coffee first," said he, "and then all the bacon in the world. Lord Sophie!" lifting the covers with his free hand. "Here's Fiddler's Green. Eggs, bacon, chops, kippered herrings, kidneys, soft tack. How is the tooth?" Here he was referring to his son George, whose howls had made the household uneasy for some time past. "It is through!" cried Mrs. Aubrey. "He cut it in the night, and now he is as good as gold, poor lamb. You shall see him after breakfast, Jack." Jack laughed with pleasure, but after a pause and in a slightly conscious tone, he said, "I rode over to Horridge's this morning to stir them up. Horridge was not in the way, but his foreman said they had no notion of coming to us this month. The lime ain't thoroughly slaked, it appears, and even then they will be at a stand with their carpenter laid up and the pipes not yet delivered." "What nonsense," said Sophie. "There was a whole gang of them laying pipes at Admiral Hare's only yesterday. Mamma saw them as she was driving by, and she would have spoken to Horridge, but he dodged behind a tree. Builders are strange, unaccountable creatures. I'm afraid you are very disappointed, my dear." "Why, I was a little put out, I must confess, and on an empty belly, too. But, however, seeing I was there, I stepped into Carroll's yard and bought the filly. I baited him 40 guineas off her, too, and, do you see, quite apart from the foals she will bring, it will be a remarkable saving, since she will train with Hoboy and Whiskers. With her to bring out their mettle, I will lay 50-1 on placing Hoboy in the Worrell Stakes." "I long to see her," said Sophie, with a sinking heart. She disliked most horses, except those of the very gentle kind, and she particularly disliked these running horses, even though they descended through Old Bald Peg from Flying Childers and the Dali Arabian himself. She disliked them for many reasons, but she was better at disguising her feelings than her husband, and with a happy, eager look, he ran on unchecked. "She'll be up some time in the forenoon. The only thing I'm not quite pleased about is the new stable floor. If only we could have had some sun and a good brisk northeaster, it would have dried out completely. Nothing so bad for a horse's hoofs as remaining damp. How is your mamma this morning?" "She seems quite well, I thank you, Jack. A little remaining headache, but she ate a couple of eggs and a bowl of gruel, and she will come down with the children. She is quite excited about seeing the doctors, and she is dressed earlier than usual."